News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, everybody, and particularly the folks at Green Shields, who darn well better have their radios on right now.
Yes. Well, it's given, isn't it? We're
going
to be there.
We'll talk about that later. This is Saturday, the 11th of January, Anno Domini 2003. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. We'll be taking your calls about computer stuff. We'll be reading some email about computer stuff. But before that, computer stuff news. And we'll start with Dave.
More stuff?
More stuff.
George Carlin did a great bit on stuff.
Yeah, he really
stuff.
Did. He really did.
Go through life searching for a place to put your stuff.
Had, stuff. When I was going to RIT, I had a professor. An accounting professor, and he reminded me a lot of George Carlin, the beard and all that, and he'd always say, well, you got to put your stuff here. And if you put stuff here, you got to put some stuff here. Always remember that, and it was a fun course, and I didn't know zip.
And then you get more stuff and need more space to put your stuff.
Yeah. But speaking of stuff, new year, and we hate to keep telling folks and reminding them. No, we really don't hate telling them because, try to help folks out. But viruses. New year, new viruses, more devastation going on out there, folks. There's a couple of them out there. One that I've seen already in our shop, I think on at least four or five computers. It's called Yaha.
Yaha!
And Yaha is another one that even works through Kazaa and a number of the others, and it sits there and it does another massive mailing. That's what most of them are about, along with Lirva, and of course our good old friend Klez. Klez is still out there. You've got these other hackers. Along with Lirva and Yaha, they've already started to try to get around it. And these hackers that don't have a life or know how to write code, which is maybe a good thing, sit there and clone it and rename it, and it's still being cut. But you definitely want to, one, update your antivirus every week. And don't assume that it's doing it automatically. I've had a number of clients say, well, it does it automatically. And I looked at it, and this one client, the date on it was July 7th, 1999.
It does it automatically until it stops.
Exactly. The subscriptions run out after a year, especially if you're using Norton and McAfee. You sign up for a one-year subscription just because you bought it with it. And the other thing is a lot of folks get the the new Gateways and Dells. It comes only with 6 months, folks. So you see it on there.
Even, I've seen some.
Yeah. So it's not for a full year. So you've got to constantly check it once it does the update just to make sure. It only takes a couple seconds, but definitely.
And if anybody from Symantec or McAfee are listening, put up a reminder window when it's going to expire.
Well,
wouldn't that be clever?
Norton does. Norton will remind you that, hey, it's your subscription's getting ready to
only
expire.
When you do it manually, not when you leave the automatic running.
But definitely check it and computer safe.
Perfect. Perfect. Good advice. My golly, it's full. Steve.
What do you expect?
What's from the Apple world?
Well, there wasn't too much going on in the Apple world
this week.
Well,
that's good. Let's
Okay, then I'll read my news next.
You can take up the rest of the 10 minutes.
The semi-annual trek to San Francisco for Macworld Expo was this week.
Version 1.3.j.17. left elbow.
Something like that.
That butterfly.
Yep. Well, actually, the Microsoft butterfly was spotted walking around trying to sell MSN8, which they don't actually have for the Mac yet, but he was there.
It's coming.
But if people are willing to buy it, they're willing to sell it. Hey. It doesn't have to work.
Yeah. We had some really interesting announcements on Steve Jobs' keynote, which is available on Apple's website. You can play the streaming video in a really clear MPEG-4 streams on Mac or Windows. He announced some new versions of the digital life software. iPhoto, iDVD, iTunes have all been revised to work better together. So when you're in iPhoto, working with your digital photos, you can bring in a music track from your iTunes library. And when you're putting videos together in iMovie, you can bring in photos from iPhoto. So everything all works together very nicely now. They've added a couple of really important features that were asked for. In iPhoto, there's now a one-button click to export your photos to CD, so you can take a photo album, put it onto CD, and pass that out. And they've also added chapter markers for movies in iMovie, which was a big feature request. And going back to last week's news, where we reported that they might start charging for these, there is a retail package now called iLife, your internet life, that contains all four of them of the.
So now you actually can get a life online.
Yes,
excellent.
You can buy a life, and it's only $49.
Cheap at half the price.
Cheap at half the price.
Say, it's almost getting to be like Ozzy and his family. Yeah. You know, it's like
iPhoto, iTunes, iPhoto, and iMovie will still be free downloads. The new versions will be out later this month. The new version of iDVD comes on two DVDs because of all the fancy new themes that are built in. So that's the big reason that that they're charging for one of the programs. But being able to buy a CD with all the programs all linked together is a real nice touch. Apple and Steve Jobs specifically also announced a pared-down version of their Final Cut Pro, which is the professional-level video editing software. Won an Emmy last year for its contributions to the video industry. Pretty much every movie these days is being cut on Final Cut. Apple released Final Cut Express for $300 that does pretty much everything for DV. Final Cut Pro, which is $1,000, works for film and movie. So if you need those professional features, so that was real neat. The real big news is the new PowerBooks. Apple released the what they're calling the smallest full-featured PowerBook, 12-inch screen, 4 pounds, combo drive built in, and a G4 processor. So it's basically the iBook cranked up to a G4, starting at $17.99 with the combo drive, or $19.99 with a super drive built in. So you can now burn DVDs in an under 5-pound package. The really stunning machine is the new 17-inch PowerBook, a first for the industry, a laptop machine with a 17-inch monitor built in. It's really, really a big, expansive screen, but the computer itself isn't much bigger than a legal pad, and it's only 1 inch thin, so it's really, really sweet. 1 gigahertz G4 machine with a super drive starting for $3,200. Also includes the new AirPort Extreme, which is based on the 802.11g format.
I am tired of the word extreme.
Well, they had to come up with a better word.
They didn't.
Yeah, they did. Well, maybe. The 54 megabit wireless transmission, first in the Apple, first for the industry. Really, really sweet. And you have to go to Apple's website to check out the new TV commercial until you see it on TV. Vern Troyer and Yao Bing from the Houston Rockets. Really, really cool.
Okay. We're going to take an extreme break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, really, really extreme Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Join News Radio 1180 WHAM for the Susan B. Anthony Birthday Luncheon, Thursday, February 13th, at the Rochester Riverside Convention Center. Hear from White House correspondent Helen Thomas, who's covered every president since JFK. Thomas will sign copies of her book, Thanks for the Memories, Mr. President. Individual tickets can be purchased at all Wegmans home video departments. For table reservations, call 279-7490. The Susan B. Anthony Birthday Luncheon, Thursday, February 13th, sponsored by Unity Health System and News Radio 1180 WHAM. Come celebrate with Green Shield. After 3 months of renovations, Green Shield Computer Services is showing off their new offices with a grand reopening open house Saturday, January 11th from noon till 6 p.m. There'll be refreshments, food, door prizes, and gifts galore, along with special guests Nick Francesco and the crew from Soundbites. From 2:30 till 4:30, immediately following Soundbites on January 11th, you can mingle with Nick, Steve, and Dave and ask them your computer questions live in person. It's sure to be fun and informative, but space is limited. So you'll need to make a reservation by calling 1-800-544-9580 or email shield@frontiernet.net. Don't miss the Green Shield open house with Nick Francesco and the crew from Soundbites, Saturday, January 11th from noon till 6. Green Shield Computer Services, a Corel approved partner. 1370 Hudson Avenue, just off the 104 Expressway. Call 1-800-544-9580 for reservations. We'll see you there.
Red Lobster for the seafood lover in you.
Guess who's turning 35? Red Lobster, that's who. Come in now as we celebrate our 35th birthday very own classic crispy popcorn shrimp. A Red Lobster original. And there's more news to sing about. Our classic popcorn shrimp is part of our all-you-can-eat shrimp celebration here at Red Lobster. So come into Red Lobster and celebrate our 35th with some drinks and a whole lot of shrimp.
Ooh, Red Lobster for the seafood lover in you.
Homeowners, is it time to replace your old windows? Call Sears Home Central now. Their custom-fit windows never need painting, and they add beauty to your home. And best of all, they may help reduce your energy costs. So call Sears now for a free in-home estimate at 1-800-225-5991. Not available in all areas. Service and materials provided by a Sears authorized contractor. License numbers available on request. So if it's time for new windows, call Sears now. 1-800-225-5991.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. Back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Yes, it's true. I am Nick Francesco.
And I'm extremely glad to be here, Dave Enright.
I don't know how to follow that up, but I'm Steve Ray.
Got him.
That's just Rob Lee. He's just there as Rob Linton. And, of course, this is Soundbites. Before we get to the phones, I'll read my news item since Steve, 45 or 50 minutes of news.
Yeah, I know. It's time to sign off.
And I didn't get to it all, either. There was a lot of announcements.
Really, it's okay.
You got to watch the two-hour keynote.
It's okay.
He'll bring it to
those of you who are using Microsoft's MSN Messenger may have noticed that on earlier this week they were out of service for about 5 or 6 hours. Unfortunately, they apparently incorrectly installed some routers, which is the hardware that routes traffic, moves traffic around the internet. This is their second one in a week. Their .NET Passport service, which allows users to log in for access across a network of Microsoft-affiliated sites, also experienced computer problems on Thursday. Of course, this brought the sharks out of the woodwork. Microsoft is trying to become the secure and wonderful computing initiative, and naturally, this brought the sharks out of the woodwork to say, well, how good can they be and how secure can they be when you can't even get to their sites? But for those of you who couldn't get to the site, it was not your fault. It was, in fact, an outage at MSN. We're going to go to the phones now. And you know the numbers because our beloved announcer announces them often, so I don't have to do that again. And our first caller, Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you? Long time no talking to you.
I know. How are you?
Good. I'm very good. How was your holiday?
Excellent. Yours?
Very good.
Santa was good to you?
Yes. Gave me a lot of software.
There you go.
I got a two-part question. I have Norton System Works 2002. I update it every day, and I run a full system scan every 3 days. The calendar never changes when I do the scans. Okay? I wanted to do a scan today, and now a week later, the calendar has changed. What's going on?
The calendar...
You know when you do a full system scan, it says...
Yeah, yeah.
It should do the date of the scan.
Yeah, the last last date of the good known scan.
Yeah. Well, a week ago, I did, 2 days ago, I did the scan. It didn't change the date. I wanted to do the scan again today, and the date has changed now. It changed the date three days later. What's going on?
Do you have it set to automatically scan the system?
No, I do it myself.
So it should be updating. It should, you know, whether you did it three times in a day.
Yeah.
Linda, let me suggest, do you ever go on the internet without the antivirus software running?
No.
Not even accidentally?
No.
Even so, let me suggest that you download Stinger and run that. Even though you're running...
I've run that a couple of times.
They've got it. Matter of fact, they've got a new version of the Stinger out that will also, just for you folks out there, McAfee has a new version of the Stinger out there that also gets rid of not only the CLES, the Yaha virus also.
Okay.
What about this? Are you running AdAware though, Linda?
Yes, I am. I read something in your forum. Somebody said it was good. Somebody said it was bad. What's the story on this? I took it off because somebody said it was bad. Then I read one of your forum questions, and somebody said, I always use AdAware. What's the story? Is it good or is it bad?
What, on AdAware?
Yeah.
It's a great program.
Yeah, I've been using
There's been rumors around the net that they've stopped updating it because there hasn't been an update in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Right on their website, it says, we aren't updating it because we're working real hard on the next version, and we're in the process of doing that, so please be patient.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently people aren't listening.
Or reading,
so they don't know that. So you're getting all this, oh, they've stopped updating it, it's no good anymore, it's junk, blah, blah, blah.
They didn't scroll down.
Yeah. Exactly.
Gentlemen, I always scroll down.
There you go.
I am also running Pest Patrol, so is that overcompensating?
Well, it's a lot to be running, but if it's, but, you know, belt and suspenders are never a bad thing on the internet.
Okay, now my second bad question is, it's SystemWorks. Should I get rid of SystemWorks and just use antivirus software? Because I'm running the whole thing.
Well, that puts a lot of overhead and a lot of stress on the machine trying to run so much thing.
Yeah, on a system that's already protecting itself.
Yeah, you don't really need all the SystemWorks stuff.
Right.
Antivirus is really what you want, and then every once in a while run that AdAware or whatever, you should be fine.
You can run the SystemWorks programs off the CD
every now and then
when you want to.
Right. You can uninstall those, but when you need them, you know, you can always put the CD in if you needed a disk repair or a recovery or something like that. You load it then. Otherwise, like Steve was saying, you know, it's just a lot of extra maintenance that's running down in that taskbar checking things and constantly checking things that's eating up resources that you don't really need to do.
And slowing your machine down.
You said run it from the CD. For some reason... the autoplay doesn't work. I've had to go into the C drive and do it that way, but sometimes, you know, you don't know what to pick. Why all of a sudden doesn't, you know?
AutoRun is a preference you can turn off somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, usually
I've
if you
never,
go into...
I've never- I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, if you go into the properties of the C... If you double-click on my computer, what version of Windows are you running?
Windows XP.
Okay.
Davis checked it out.
Yeah, XP Professional.
Okay,
yeah.
Then you should be able to double-click on my computer.
Uh-huh.
Then right-click on your CD-ROM drive.
Right.
And select Properties.
Right.
And there's an autoplay tab.
Okay.
And then you can check either prompt me every time or select an action to perform, which is play, open the folder, or take no action.
Okay.
And you can set that for music files, also for pictures, data, whatever.
Yep.
So you
got to
set each one separately.
Okay. See, and I don't have to write this stuff down because I'm taping it.
There you go. Thanks, Linda.
Take it easy.
We got to move on, but thank you very much. Our next caller... Tara from Rochester. Welcome, Tara. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you.
Thanks. I called you last week and spoke with you on the show about the ex-Jupiter parasite. I don't know if you remember.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sort of, kind of, huh?
Yeah.
Well, okay. It's my aunt sent me a Christmas card. I opened it up and
Yeah.
Now I remember talking to you, and now I remember about what, yeah.
Well, anyway, you told me to do the AdAware.
Yeah.
And I did, and it worked great, so thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Well, that's
our
what
pleasure.
We're here for.
It is so sweet when somebody actually calls up and thanks us because we don't get a lot of that. Thank you.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you should because, you know, you guys are beyond entertaining. You're just a great resource for this community, and it's great that you're there.
Thank you, Tara. I appreciate that. Thanks.
Okay. Well, one of the things I mentioned to you last week when I was telling you about it was that when that whole thing happened and I unplugged the computer because I had no way out,
right? Mm-hmm.
I plugged it back in and everything's worked fine, even with that ex-Jupiter on there. Well, that's gone. But one of the things that was also on there was that Real Player has like an insignia or something that imposed itself over half of my icon.
Yeah.
And so after I did the ex-Jupiter thing, I thought, well, maybe that will go away, but it didn't with the AdAware.
Yeah.
So then I just went into programs and I took off Real Player, which I knew sounded too simple, and of course that didn't work.
Right.
Well, if you take if You uninstalled Real Player, and it doesn't change the icon.
They're still there.
What happens? It's a file association table. It's been changed to associate those types of files with Real Player.
Because you can see the icon still under it, the original one.
Right.
You need to reassociate those music files.
You've got to go into Windows Explorer. What are you running? 98 or XP?
Oh, do I have to tell you?
ME, huh?
No! And I thought you were such a good lady.
I bought a Dell computer and it came on it.
Yeah, no, I won't hold that against
you. Well, that's not too bad if it comes
But anyways,
built in.
What you want to do, I'll still continue talking to you because you're such a sweet lady.
Hey, you know, it's a new year and Dave is turning over a new leaf. He hasn't actually forced us to hang up on an ME person yet this year.
Well, I'm really trying. You know, it's a New Year's resolution. I'm sitting here hanging on to the edge of my seat and not trying to fall off.
We're going to bring him a bullet to chew on next week.
But anyways, what you want to do is go into Windows Explorer.
Explorer. Is that one of the icons on the desktop?
No, if you go to Start, go to Programs, Accessories, because they bury it now. And you go under Accessories, there's Windows Explorer.
You should also be able to right-click on my computer and choose Explore.
Yeah.
Okay, or right-click.
Either one.
Okay.
And under Tools, you'll see Folder Options.
Folder Options, okay.
And the last tab over is File Types.
File Types.
What you're going to do is look for those types. So say you've got MP3s or whatever. They're going to be associated with a particular program.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is delete that file type. You go down and say it's MP3s. You can select it and say delete. Now, the next time you go to open, say, an MP3 file or a JPEG file, whatever you decide to delete, that's associated with that program, it's going to ask you, what do you want to open this up with? And then you can choose. And then from thereafter, you can say, always use this or just use it for this one time.
There's also...
What do I choose? I'm confused at that point.
You pick one of your other music players, whatever you want to use.
You may have the Windows Media Player on your machine.
Mm-hmm.
That'll play almost everything.
Okay.
If you've got Winamp loaded, you could use that for things like MP3s and stuff like that.
Even QuickTime will play most of those formats.
QuickTime will play most of them, but I know that on your machine you will have the Windows Media Player.
Okay.
A sort of easier way around all that is to find one of those files that has the icon you don't like.
Right.
Left click on it.
Okay.
Hold the Shift key down and right click.
Oh gosh, hold Shift, right click. Okay.
And a menu pops out. One of the choices is Open With.
Okay.
And then you pick the file, the program you want to open that file with, find Winamp in the list, for example, or Windows Media Player.
Media Player or QuickTime. Or
and in that box, there's an icon or checkbox that says, always use this program. And that changes the file association to this new program you've picked.
Okay, but, oh gosh, I'm being stupid here, but I don't understand because these are all such different things on my desktop. These icons are on...
You have to do it for every media type of file there is.
Right. Yeah, for each type of program, not for each type of file.
So, for example, my icon that says Dell Accessories on it, what would I want to open that with?
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, Real Player took over.
Everything. Shouldn't.
That Dell Accessories, you can throw that to the trash.
Well, yeah, but Real Player should only have taken over MP3 files files.
It's on my user guide, my phone sync.
Well, then you have a much more serious problem.
Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately, what you've got is some sort of corruption in one of the tables.
But the assistants and all those things that are on your desktop, you can take those, you can eliminate those off your desktop.
Well, but more importantly, Tara, what may have happened is some sort... Let me suggest that you bring it to somebody and have them take a look at it because they may need to do some repair work on the system. And I apologize for telling you that, but unfortunately at this point, it's now past what the average user would want to be able to play with without damaging something. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the universe's greatest computer show, Soundbites, only on 1180 WHAM.
The top two teams in the NFL aren't the only ones headed to the Super Bowl.
1, 2, 3,
it's a big game.
It's big.
And an even bigger party.
Real big.
To be there, be the 25th nationwide caller to 1-866-525-WINT. When you hear the cue to call in and win, it's the biggest Super Bowl party. Good luck from News Radio 1180, WHAM.
I like my theater affectionate.
How am I ever going to play for the Yankees with a name like Eugene Morris Jerome? You have to be a Joe or a Tony or Frankie. If only I was born Italian. All the best Yankees are Italian. My mother makes spaghetti with ketchup. What chance do I have?
Diva Theater Center presents Brighton Beach Memoirs, a heartwarming comedy by Neil Simon, on stage January 7th through February 9th. 15-year-old Eugene is desperately trying to uncover life's mysteries, but his family keeps hiding the clues. Even so, he manages to keep his priorities, baseball and girls, firmly in order throughout this hilarious Broadway hit about growing up in Brooklyn during the late 1930s. Tickets are on sale now at the Diva Theater Center box office or by calling 232-DIVA. Brighton Beach Memoirs is co-produced by Democrat and Chronicle, Flom Management Company Incorporated, Icon Office Solutions, and Service Master of Rochester. Special thanks to American Airlines. Coach has more class. Brighton Beach Memoirs on stage through February 9th. Diva Theater Center. How do you like your theater?
Mercedes doesn't offer a car with a whiplash protection system. BMW doesn't offer a car with a whiplash protection system or full-length safety curtains. But Volvo made a car with both 3 years ago. It's called the Volvo S80, and it's just one of many certified pre-owned Volvos. Every one comes with Volvo's legendary safety features. Every one comes with a warranty of up to 6 years or 100,000 miles and has passed a 130-point inspection. And everyone offers the added security of 24-hour roadside assistance. So visit your Volvo retailer today to learn more about certified pre-owned Volvos. With safety features you won't even find on some new cars, it just goes to show, they don't make some new cars like they used to. The Volvo Certified Pre-Owned Program is backed by warranty. See your Volvo retailer for details.
Test drive a certified pre-owned Volvo today at Best Volvo.
Best Volvo.
Rochester's exclusive Volvo dealership, 1500 University Avenue.
This portion of Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
50,000 watts. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're here to take your phone calls and to read your emails and to just basically have some interesting discussion about computers. Our next interesting discusser is John.
Discusser? Right.
Discusser. Not discussed-er, but discusser, person who discusses, will be John. Next time I'll just
next
say...
Next caller. Caller. How about
John
that?
John from Newark, New York. Welcome,
Jeez
John.
Louise.
What would you care to discuss today?
Hi, Nick. Great show.
Thank you. We are very proud of it.
Okay, I know you are, and I know you've got all the answers, so here goes.
No pressure, though.
While my kids were growing up, they spent all their time using CPM before DOS came out. My question is there any way I can that I can transfer all of these CPM files into the DOS environment so they can have a Christmas present and all the stories they wrote 15, 20 years ago?
Wouldn't that be the coolest thing on earth? If you have a modem program, you can FTP them somewhere and then bring them back down. You know, you can put them on your web space or whatever and bring them back down again.
Mm-hmm.
Or even set up, you know, down from one machine to another, although that's a little harder. But beyond that, if you want to, are they 5 1/4 inch floppies?
No, 8 inch.
8 inch!
Yeah.
Yeah, there used
to
be...
Got a couple hundred of them.
What system was it?
It was a Xerox CPM system, the 820 system.
Oh, the 820, sure.
Whoa.
What I might suggest you do is call the public relations people at Xerox and see if they'd like to make a little hay out of this and do the translating for you. Start there.
There was a way to do it with PIP. In my olden days at college, we had digital CPM machines next to our PCs, next to our early Macs. And with PIP, you could take the CPM file and write it to a DOS disk on that CPM computer.
Yeah, but trying to find
But it was all 5 1/4 then. Yeah,
right. Here we're talking about 8-inch disks.
8-inch.
So really the only thing I can think of that you can do by yourself is if the system gets online in any way, dialing up to anybody.
Even a serial cable between the two computers.
Yeah. Even a serial cable between the two
Lap
computers.
Link.
You can set up a TTY interface between the two and copy the program.
I doubt you'll find LapLink for CPM.
But PIP should work over TTY.
Probably, yeah.
Pip worked over everything. You just had to know the parameters.
Yeah, now, can I find Pip on the web?
Pip should be on your machine.
Okay.
Peripheral interchange program.
Exactly.
You copied files from one peripheral to another.
Yeah.
Exactly. Other than that, other than doing it that way, I'm not sure what else I can tell you.
Find somebody that has a CPM machine with 8-inch and 5.25 drives. So we went through a lot of this same issue.
Assuming you've got a 5.25-inch drive on your PC.
That's true. We went through a lot of the same issue on the Apple community with the Apple II 5.25s and then the Mac 3.5s.
Right.
And some of the GS models could have both 5.25 and 3.5 drives, and that was your intermediary.
Right. I wish I had more I could tell you, but.
Well, you're giving me, you know, some areas to poke at. I've talked to some of the engineers I know work at Xerox, and they were batting zero, but maybe the PR people can dazzle us with some information. We can find out.
Like I say, exactly. If you could actually, you know, get that thing to dial up and upload them somewheres.
A system, a place on the web where you can look at some of the frequently asked questions about CPM from the Net News section, and it's at www.faqs.org/FAQS/CPM, and those are all in caps, -FAQ.
-FAQ.
Yeah, so it's www.faqs.org/FAQS/CPM, all in caps, -FAQ.
Okay, -FAQ.
And we're going to put that up on our website. It'll be there in a moment. You can go to our website, soundbites.org, which is a little easier to remember. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind you. And then scroll down in the lower right, you'll see a link that says, I heard a website on your show. And go there, and you'll see the list of all the websites that we've mentioned on all our shows, including
today. Fantastic. Appreciate the pointers here, guys.
Let us know what happens. We'd really follow up on this.
Will. Yeah.
And some of the older guys from the Frog Computer Society that still have their K-Pros and Osborne's in the closet.
And North Stars. I just had a call from a guy the other day.
Still had the CPM machines. I want to say Jim.
Well, Jim McCollum always did.
Jim McCollum.
He moved out of town.
Yeah. Darn. Well, let us know.
Will do, Nick.
Yeah, let us know.
So
appreciate. Thanks.
Okay, you have a great day now.
You too. I think that is so cool. Our next caller is Victor from Irondequoit. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
Hi, guys. First, I got a Stop Zilla CD from you last August, and it's killed over 9,000 pop-ups. It's an excellent program, and I highly recommend it.
That's what
Thank
I
you.
Like to hear. Stop Zilla, the pop-up killer.
I wish he'd still, though, come out with a version that works with Netscape and the others.
I'm sure they're working on it.
I hope so.
Next, I have Norton Antivirus 2003. Is it easier on my computer if I leave the automatic live update hooked up or just do it myself daily?
What level computer and what internet connection?
I've got DSL.
Mm-hmm.
I got Windows 98 second edition, and it's a 500 megahertz Dell.
If I had a broadband connection, I'd. It depends. Do you leave your machine on all the time?
No, I shut it off at night.
Then you might want to do it by hand first thing. Here's the problem.
It does it the first time it senses
the
connection.
Yeah, it'll turn on automatically once you turn it on.
If you set it up to do it yourself, you'll forget.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
If you set the system to do it up. To do it, then it won't forget. So you can set it to do it any time, day or night. And then if the machine is off when it's supposed to do it, when you turn it on, it'll do it.
Okay. Plus, you can also have it do it multiple times because sometimes, we tell most of the time folks to I tell everybody go on Thursday. Because Wednesdays, it's kind of sporadic. They're out on the West Coast, so, you know, you... Folks don't always remember, sometime constantly during the Wednesday to check. But you can be rest assured every Thursday there's always usually an update. But unless an extreme virus comes out, then periodically, even during the week, there could be another one on a Monday or whatever if something bad comes out. And you can set it up to check as many times as you want.
I leave my machine on 24/7, so I have a check at 3 a.m. every single day.
Same here.
And in 2003, and I think 2002 also, it automatically checks whenever it senses an internet connection.
Right.
So it doesn't need to be scheduled for manual times, even though you still can.
Right.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure, can you?
Concerning the zone alarm, I have two programs. I don't remember how they even got on there. One is called remove.exe, and one's called Common Client. And they're both question marked on my computer. Should they be checked as always let on, or should they be question marked as ask each time? I forgot what the programs are.
Well, remove.exe is a very common name for uninstaller pieces of real programs.
Mm-hmm.
It also seems to be a pretty common name of spy programs.
Oh.
That we're finding now on the internet.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true.
So I should just delete it then from the...
Yeah, I'd remove
well,
it.
Well, if you use something like Adaware...
I have that.
I would tell it to say, no, you can't get on.
Okay. What about the common client thing?
That's probably a JavaScript. Does it end in .js?
Let's see. It says common file semantic shared.
Well, that's one of semantics. Part of Norton.
Yeah. So I should leave that as XFL.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, go check to see that it's actually in the semantic directory first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's an interesting kind of a thing when you end up with programs. The problem is you don't always know where they came from. You don't always know what runs them.
Yep.
And I wish there were an easier way to know that. There are some utilities you can download that theoretically will tell you that, but they're not always right.
A lot of the times you can do a properties on a file, and there'll be sub-properties for the manufacturer and version number.
Right.
It's easy enough to fake those, but
right.
If it says Microsoft or Symantec, it probably is.
Probably
Should
is.
Should we mention, though, well, we've got a quick few seconds here, that for you folks, that if you got nothing better to do right after the show...
And there is nothing better you can do.
...that you want to come on down to Green Shields, because we're going to be down there from 2:30 to 4:30. Green Shields is expanded, and we're doing a meet-and-greet down there. He's going to have all kinds of stuff. I think some giveaways.
There's giveaways and food. And
it's actually running now from noon to 6.
Yeah, they're there now, so there's no reason not to go there. We'll talk a little bit about that, a little more about that. I'm a professional. Don't try this at home. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from our break with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the universe's greatest computer show, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Hi, this is Jan Miller, Executive Director of the National Kidney Foundation of Upstate New York, saying thank you to all the people who made their car a kidney car last year. Fueled by your generosity, the National Kidney Foundation provided free kidney stone and bedwetting seminars, medical ID bracelets for local kidney patients, early detection kidney screenings, patient support programs for adults and kids with kidney disease, and thousands of organ donor cards. Keep your kidneys going strong. Keep your blood pressure and diabetes under control. And see your doctor for a kidney checkup. Call us anytime for more information about high blood pressure, diabetes, and your kidneys. Thanks for making your car a kidney car. Working together, we can drive away kidney disease.
Make your car a kidney car. Cars that save lives.
For more information on free towing and a tax deduction, call 1-800-488-CARS.
Resolve the nuclear issue through dialogue.
The crisis notched up again today when North Korea said it would resume missile testing. Reaction from South Korea reported by Don Kirk from Seoul.
The North Korean ambassador to China, Choi Jin-soo, added to South Korea's concerns by threatening an end to the moratorium on missile testing. North Korea stopped the testing after firing a long-range missile over Japan in August 1998. Such missiles have a range of several thousand miles, long enough to carry nuclear warheads to the west coast of the United States.
North Korea staged the crisis notched up again. North Korea staged a rally today declaring that they would seek revenge with blood toward any country that violates their sovereignty. In South Korea, meantime, a counter-demonstration in Seoul supporting U.S. policy toward the North. The governor of Illinois has commuted the sentences of all 156 inmates on death row. George Ryan says that's the only way to be sure that nobody who's innocent is executed. One of those escaping execution is Madison Hobley, who was convicted of setting a fire that killed Ollie Dodd's daughter.
I never thought I would see the day when he would release Madison Hobley, a free man, and he took eight people's lives. I just don't see how he could do it.
None of those whose sentences will be commuted will be set free. Governor Ryan leaves office on Monday. The incoming governor doesn't like what Ryan did. More from WBBM reporter Bob Roberts.
Rod Blagojevich says he will undertake a constitutional review to determine what changes, if any, should be made in the governor's power to grant pardons and commute death sentences. He won't say what he's debating, but he's clearly unhappy.
I think he's right to review all of the cases on a case-by-case basis. I think that's a moral obligation. He's been right to do that. But I disagree with his decision to provide blanket clemency. I think a blanket anything is usually wrong. There is no one-size-fits-all approach to this. We're talking about convicted murderers, and I just think that is a mistake.
Blagojevich is setting no timetable for action on the issue. Bob Roberts, CBS News, Chicago.
For the first time ever, the Pentagon sent email messages to Iraqi generals urging their dissent and defection if the U.S. attacks. This is CBS News.
We know you do it. You comparison shop. You come to Travelocity, check out an airfare, and then run off to see if you can find the same thing lower somewhere else. But it's okay. We don't mind. Because we also know you'll be back. Why? Because Travelocity consistently has the most low fares, making Travelocity the final destination of comparison shoppers everywhere. Travelocity. See site for details. AOL keyword travel.
Sun tunes up the sky. Hey, open your sleepy eyes. That aroma mountain grown can make this day your own. Now you feel the whole new beat. Hey world, ain't life sweet? The best part of waking up.
Good afternoon at 104. I'm Rob Linton with the WHAM News Update. Celebrating the cold. That's what folks in Rochester plan to do tonight. The Cold Rush Celebration starts tonight with festivities here in the city. Ed Hall is the president of the Greater Rochester Visitors Association. He says the marketing campaign is a way to get more people in our area and celebrate the winter season. A Brockport man is dead from injuries he suffered in a car crash yesterday afternoon. The Orleans County Sheriff's Office says the 81-year-old's car collided with another at the intersection of South Holly Road and Route 31A just after 4 o'clock. A local Indian tribe wants to move ahead with plans to build a high-stakes bingo hall in our area. The Seneca Cayuga tribe of Oklahoma has land near the eastern shore of Cayuga Lake. That's where they would like to build that. A Syracuse newspaper says, however, there's a dispute. The local and state governments have a say in whether or not that can happen. The Fast Ferry project is getting an additional $4.5 million in federal funding. Congresswoman Louise Slaughter says the money will be used for reconstruction at the Charlotte Pier. We'll have a check of radar weather next. WHAM News Time 105.
First, fast, and accurate with the latest news every 30 minutes. This is Rochester's News Radio 1180. WHAM.
Sound bites driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Hi, Chet Walker for Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio. And last fall, when Rowe was redoing their front entrance, folks had to come into the back door. And you know what? They discovered the video and audio part of Rowe they hadn't really seen before. They had to walk through Rowe's home theater display with all the great HD TVs and giant screens, including those super thin plasma screens you can hang right on the wall. Plus, all the speakers and the surround sound setups that'll have you running for cover when that avalanche roars down the mountain. I tell you this because Rowe put the wonderful home theater in my house, and I'm the happiest guy in town. I've got an extraordinary big screen TV and audio components so honest, so true, they've got their own credit cards. Plus, Rowe has their own professional installation staff, so there's no strangers running around your house. Folks, we're just slipping into a brand new year. Make it happy, bright, and exciting with a home theater system from Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio, 1737 Mount Hope Avenue, chosen by Rochester readers as Rochester's best.
If your car's battery is more than 3 years old, it may not make it through another cold winter. Don't get stranded. Get to AutoZone for a new battery today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Here is the WHAM radar weather forecast for Rochester and Western New York from News Source 13. For today, windy with a mixture of sun and clouds. The chance of snow showers throughout the day, a high of 23. For tonight in the overnight, continued windy with a chance of snow showers, a low of 17. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies with scattered snow showers once again, a high of 27. Right now, downtown, partly cloudy skies and 24 degrees. More sound bites on the way next. I'm Rob Linton on Rochester's News Leader, News Radio 1180 WHAM.
America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you know, during the break,
it gets interesting.
It gets interesting, but this time it was a very quick break for me because I was playing
NetHack.
I was playing NetHack. I have a brand new toy. I have a new PDA. I have a Sharp Zorus. It's a personal digital assistant, and it's got all the standard stuff, phone and calendar and to-do list and all that
That's
stuff.
It's more than a PDA, though.
It also happens to be a full-blown Linux computer. So I have a real word processor, spreadsheet, database, graphics program. I can run MySQL on this thing. I connect to the net and browse the web. I have a wireless web connection. I do my email on this thing. It's got you pull it down and there's a keyboard inside it. It's absolutely a phenomenal little
product.
That's
why they've got to come up with a different name, though, because this is actually more than a PDA. I mean, if you compare
this... Well, look at what it's called. It's a personal information tool or something.
But this is like
a... the pits.
It's a pit. Thank you.
Oh.
Isn't that what it says? Personal information tool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, the PDAs, when I think of a PDA, I think of, like, my palm.
Right.
It sits there and does simple stuff. I'm sorry, but this is no PDA, folks. This does a hell of a lot more than just doing that. I mean, with this cool keyboard, though, that's what I like. Sitting there and you can actually buttons that you can actually hit and not have to learn the
exactly
the language.
You have a real keyboard. You have a real operating system. It's a real computer. Playing with your Palm, Justin, isn't as good as the real thing.
Wasn't it like 2 years ago HP came out with a pocket computer that was full-blown Windows, and but it was like three times the size of that?
Yeah.
And we were all marveling, wow, it's so small.
Exactly.
How did they get all the Windows in there?
Exactly. We're going to go back, but before we get to the phones, we have one very important thing to remind everybody of. Today, at 2:30... We will be, when we leave here at 2 o'clock, we
which
will be
means
going.
We got a haul butt.
We got a haul butt. We are going to go to Green Shield Computer Services. They are at 1350, I believe it is, Hudson Avenue.
Right near 104 Expressway. You can literally see it from the expressway.
Right. We'll be there from 2:30 to 4:30. It's their grand reopening. They've remodeled and all the computers are out there and there's all kinds of very cool stuff. So we will be there from 2:30 to 4:30. It would behoove you to pop on down. There's free food and raffles and fun and excitement and thrills and joy. And
is Black and Tan going to be there?
I don't know if he's made the trip yet. He was supposed to start swimming yesterday. Black and Tan, for those of you who are on our website, soundbites.org, in the forums, there is a guy named Black and Tan who's there every day talking to us. He lives in Australia and listens to us.
But Lolly Gage, she should be able to make it.
Lolly should be there. Lolly should be there, doggone it.
She is a sweetie.
She is a sweetie, and we'll see what happens when we get there, who's going to be there. Speaking of stuff, we're going to take an email question. Shane from Northcote writes, Northcote is, it's in Australia.
Below Southcote.
Yeah, we have quite an... Below Southcote. No, even in Australia, north is would be above Southcote. I guess depends on which way you're facing. Shane is from Northcote, Australia. We have many Australian listeners over our archive site. His question is about setting up a computer from scratch. And he says, I am about to buy a Dell 8250 that will have XP, a CD burner, and all the usual bells and whistles. I wanted to know if you guys have put together a best practices sheet of the steps to take to set up a computer from this point on and in which sequence. For example, virus checking and or installation, favored programs to run on to check performance, to get rid of pop-ups, spam, tweaks that should be instigated for speed and efficiency, how to set up the my golly, they're verbose down there. How to set up the desktop so that there are one-click buttons to perform regular and necessary tasks, setting up schedules, cleaning the registry. I'm not going to go through everything, but a check sheet would
You're
be invaluable to me, and I'm sure other avid listeners. And he then goes on to say, this is definitely the best program of this kind in the world. Regards and keep up the fabulous service you provide worldwide. Shane McConville of Northcote, Australia.
Well, Shane, yes, it's something that you brought up, and yes, we could do up. Matter of fact, if I get a chance, I'll try doing up a list like that.
This is a great idea. Yes. I'm not going to delete this one. I'll leave it there so you can find it.
I'll find it, and tell you what, I will work on something like that. I've done this for the Better Business Bureau and that, recommendations and that, you know, when folks are going out looking. But this is just another tool that, yes, we could put out there. A few other things. Yes. On a new system, I would highly recommend first thing that you do is always get your antivirus software loaded. Because with most machines, when you're if you're building
as
them
soon as
scratch,
possible,
yeah,
by the way,
put it on there before you do anything else. And if you whether you're going to dial up or you know if you've got DSL or Roadrunner, whatever they call it in Australia, is go and do your update. Because what you're going to want to do with most programs is even with the newer ones, you install them, there's usually 9 out of 10 times always patches or updates that you're going to want to go to the web and get. And they you know they ask you to register and everything else. The minute you do that, bam, your email address is out there that you could start getting emails and all that and wind up doing damage to your machine. So I would always recommend doing the antivirus software first and then start loading other programs after that. Namely, if you don't have a built-in firewall on a router, install like a zone alarm or something else like that so folks aren't going to get hacked into you, especially if you're like me and Nick. We leave our machines on 24/7. And you certainly don't want somebody getting in there, stripping out personal information, putting in other spyware and everything else, stealing personal information. And then proceed from there going on to install your other programs. And then this way, if you have to go up to the web and get updates, I can guarantee you, even if you've got, say, a brand new machine with Windows XP, you can go up to the Windows update, and there's going to be at least, on an average of 15 updates already out there once you even get your machine. So you're going to want to do those too. But again, you want to do it safely. And antivirus and a firewall are almost, without a doubt, it's like, you know, playing Russian roulette.
That's right.
You're going to get nailed one of these times. It's just a matter of what spin.
There was a story in the Weird News the other day about some poor schmuck. He's probably on the Darwin Awards by now. He was playing Russian roulette with an automatic pistol.
Yeah. He is. I got the book for one of the books for Christmas, the Darwin Awards book, and he's in there. And Shane, we don't make this offer to everybody. Okay, but 3 round-trip tickets to Australia for, say, late February, early March, we'll come down and set it up for you.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't make that offer to everybody, but for you specifically as one of our Australia listeners, 3 round-trip tickets is really all we need. In an airplane as opposed to like on a raft.
It'll take a couple, 3 weeks at least to test it fully.
That's exactly right, and I'm sure there are beaches near. Well, I don't know where North Coast is.
Actually,
but
let me look up where it is.
Yeah, right. We may not want to come and visit.
Well, he can get together with Black and Tan, and they can chip in at 50-50.
That's exactly right, and we'll come down and play.
And, you know, if he can get to a local Clear Channel down there.
That's right, and find out why the heck we're not on.
We can always do a remote show from there.
That's exactly right.
Rob, you ready to go to Australia?
Okay, we're going to need 4 tickets then.
Yeah, Rob's ready to go.
4 tickets.
We don't go anywhere without our producer.
And by the way, they better be round trip. All right, our next caller is Brian from Fairport, New York. From
hey
the sublime to the... welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hey, thanks for the show.
Sure.
2 quick questions. My buddy's got XP. He just got a machine about a month ago, and he keeps getting a message down by his clock saying a couple days ago, it said, you have 11 days to activate Windows. Now, I'm assuming you have to go online and register it.
Correct.
Or
what
phone
if he
call.
Doesn't plan on going online or he doesn't get to it for a couple weeks?
He can then call the 800 number that's listed there.
Okay.
Right. In 11 days, Windows will stop working, period.
But he can call. There's an 800 number. He can call there, and then they will give him another number to punch in and activate it.
Oh, my. So is that going to be a problem if he installs any hardware, too?
It's going to be a big problem. He should activate immediately, if not sooner.
Oh, my God. I'm hanging on to 98SE to my grave.
Well, you...
Why would they? Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, basically, Microsoft is assuming everyone's a pirate and forcing you to be legal by...
That word pirate really means thief.
Thief,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We actually just had a customer this week who didn't know you were supposed to buy 4 copies of Windows to run on 4 different computers.
Right.
At least that's
right.
What he said.
Okay. You would call that person uninformed and had done something by accident. Microsoft would call them a thief.
Okay. My second question is, I've got 4.12 codecs installed, DivX 5.02, and I still have some AVI files that say it can't find an appropriate decompressor.
AVI files are not DivX files.
Okay.
And they are a separate format. Some AVI files can be run through whatever your program is, but what has likely happened is that either it's a format that was badly coded...
Different DivX.
Well, actually, yeah. There are different ways. I run into this a lot on the Mac. There are different ways to encode the video inside of an AVI.
Right.
DivX is one. There's a couple from Kodak. There's Indio from Intel. There are developers that are always trying to tweak out the best performance and get the biggest screen video, and they release new codecs almost daily.
Yeah.
So there are some videos you won't play until you find the exact codec they use.
Is there an easy way to convert it, maybe to an MPEG?
No, you have to have that codec to decompress the
file.
Right,
you got
to
have the codec anyway.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
All right,
we'll see if we can dig up
some of
that.
Thank you very much. We are going to a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on the universe's greatest computer show, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Hang a ceiling fan, paint the utility room, replace the front door.
Ah, yes. This month's list of home improvements.
Insulate the attic. Replace the old dishwasher.
Right now at the Home Depot, there's never been a better time to make some great changes around your house.
Give your kitchen a new look for the new year and save like before. Shop now and get up to $200 worth of free cabinetry hardware upgrades with purchase of 12 or more special order install cabinets, including great brands like Thomasville. Plus, get 10% off all overstocked and closeout major appliances from brand names like Maytag and GE. And get no payments and no interest until July 2003 on your Home Depot or Expo Consumer credit card. So what are you waiting for? Get the new kitchen you want now at the Home Depot Design Event. Subject to credit approval, additional terms apply. See store for details.
From the Sunrise Sinai at a fog-shrouded transmitter in deep rural meadows to round-the-clock humming of a frequency in congested metropolitan empires, one out of every 10 radio stations energizing the airwaves in America carry the pedigree of Clear Channel Radio. Every top 10 market on the map, 48 of the 50 you want to reach. Now that's the power of consolidation in cold, hard numbers.
Clear Channel Worldwide.
Clear Channel Radio. Bigger, better broadcasting.
Bob Matthews.
Why can't some of these deadweights that call the shots in our community see the light?
Weeknights, 6 till 8 on the Sports Leader. News Radio 1180 WHAM. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Alleman K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, let's talk about the poll.
Actually, before we talk about the poll, for our last questioner, I found at the IANA.org, who registers all certain things, there are 259 codecs for the AVI video format.
Is that all?
Is that all?
A mere 259.
And that's of...
And he hasn't got the right one yet. He's just not trying. That's the problem right there.
Yeah, that's of whenever this list was written.
Right. Right, which is clearly out of date if it's actually up online.
But if you dig around Google for AVI codec, you'll find hundreds of different codecs that you might need for whichever type of video.
He's just got to find the right one.
A minimum of 259 of them. On our website, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind you, we have a poll every week. Last week's poll was I have not looked at open source software because, and the winner with 34%, with 274 of you voted, thank you very much, 34% of you don't even know what open source is. Open source software is software where you not only get the software itself, but you also get the source code
for
to
free.
The software for free, and it's all for free. So if you wanted to make changes to it, you could. Now, will you make changes to it? Probably not. But what it means is there's an entire community of tens of thousands of programmers out there looking at the code, tweaking it, making it better, getting rid of problems, fixing holes. It's a great thing. Followed closely, that was 34%. 31% of you said, are you kidding? I love open source. Followed by, I have no idea why I haven't looked at it. It scares me. Where's the support? Microsoft, Apple, Sun, IBM, own my soul. 19 of you think that. 4 of you think it's stupid, and 3 of you think I'm really happy paying for it. This week's poll is slightly different. This week's poll, Argyle, God bless you for sending me this poll. Please, folks, please, if you have any poll ideas, send them to me. Send them to me. I am so horribly out of ideas for polls. How many viruses does your antivirus software detect each week? Argyle sent that one in. And the choices are more than 10, 6 to 10, 1 to 5, none I have a PC, none I have a Mac, and none I surf naked. So far at this...
What? Say, wouldn't you actually get more viruses if you're
so
naked?
So far, 83 of you have... We're just ignoring Steve. Can you just shut off his mic? 83 of you have voted, and none, and I have a PC, is the... first place with 55% of the votes. When you're done there, please go over to my website, asknick.com, by clicking on the opinions button, and you can put in a stinking opinion. Right now we have an even dozen opinions up there, and somebody said, how about none? I run GNU Linux. Well, that's true. I didn't put in a choice for Linux, and I apologize. So please join us on... I see the 23 of you are already online at soundbites.org. So please join us there, and join us here on the phone as Larry from Irondequoit is done. Welcome, Larry. What's your question?
I got a couple of them here. I've got a 200 megahertz 1998... 4 gig hard drive that was partitioned by Micron when I bought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I formatted both drives and cleaned everything out, sending it back to college with my daughter, reloading everything. And is there an advantage to keeping the drive partitioned?
The reason it was probably partitioned in the first place is the BIOS couldn't handle that big a drive.
Right.
Okay.
2 gig in those days was a huge drive, so
yeah,
4
exactly.
gig was 2 huge drives.
Okay, so...
And by keeping it separated that way, you can keep programs on the C drive
and data
on the D drive, which means that when you do backups, all you have to do is back up the stuff on D.
Okay.
And point the swap file to the D drive, the other partition, keeping the swap file off of the C drive.
Okay, keep the swap file off the C drive.
Yeah.
The other thing, a lot of times the program asks, where you want to put your program files. So would you keep the program files
I keep the programs on C and the data on D. Are these two separate drives?
Yeah, well, they show them as
But it's
C
really
and
one
D.
big drive.
Yeah, it's one big
it's
drive.
It's really one big drive, but you can have a programs file on either one or the other,
correct.
Both.
Yeah. But I would suggest, might as well keep all your programs on C and all your data on D.
Okay, another question then, too, is that she downloads a lot from Kazaa and or music, am I better keeping or loading 98SE back on there, XP, and what? What antivirus program would you recommend?
What's currently on the OS now?
I think it's Norton.
No, what software operating system?
Oh, 98. I haven't loaded it yet. I can either
for
one
that,
or the other.
That machine, I would recommend Windows 98 Second Edition.
Okay.
It's a little XP is a little too much for it because XP they want at least a. Into the Pentium 3 500 megahertz range,
Yeah, and this is only a Pentium. It's not even a Pentium 2.
Right,
or
right.
Three,
and, no, I'd go, you know, stay with the Windows 98 SE. Also, you know, 128 mega memory, and you should be good to go.
However, I'm not sure I would suggest Kazaa as the downloading program. There are a couple of problems with Kazaa, one of which is that it loads monumental amounts of spyware on your system.
Okay.
There are a couple of alternatives. Kazaa has a light version that they say doesn't have any of those spyware programs.
BearShare.
There's also another. BearShare has them too now. The only other one I know that doesn't is called Shareza.
And how do you spell that?
Share, S-H-A-R-E-A-Z-A.
Okay.
Or Z-A for our Australian listeners.
Right. Yeah. And that great. Should be at shareza.maybe.org. Steve's going to look that up and put it on the webpage anyway. And great. that's a free and open source, I believe, version of the download program, and so that might be a better choice for you. It works the same, it does the same, it connects to all the same networks that that Kazaa does, but it has no spyware in it.
Well, we've been pretty lucky. I mean, with this computer at home, I mean, we've never experienced a virus, and she's downloaded a lot of music, but she's taken it back to New Pulse with her, and I'm just wondering if it would make any difference.
Yes, definitely. Because each spring, once school gets out, mm-hmm. I have a number of clients that they bring their kids' computer that's been at school.
Mm-hmm.
And on the average, you know, you find maybe a couple hundred viruses that I have to clean off and clean up and everything else.
Does that, like, if she brings that home and then I format it and load it again, does that take care of all the viruses
mm-hmm.
again?
Yep.
Okay, great. Okay. Super. Well, thanks for the help, and I'm going to stop down and see you guys this afternoon.
We'll see you there. Terrific.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
At Red Lobster, we're celebrating our 35th birthday with all-you-can-eat shrimp, featuring our often-imitated, never-duplicated popcorn shrimp. And while everyone knows it's not polite to talk or sing with a mouthful of tasty popcorn shrimp, humming's fine. So come in now to celebrate Red Lobster's 35th birthday. Okay, guys, you can stop humming.
Really, stop.
For the seafood lover in you. Cute.
Is there a travel site that offers a smarter way to save on hotels? There is, according to this Hotwire customer.
I went to Orlando, and I was going to originally stay at one of the resorts, and I just thought, I'll check out Hotwire and see what the prices are, and lo and behold, it was a 4-star for $57 a night. And I thought, well, I can actually fit in my entire vacation, the equivalent of one night at a resort, or, you know, 4 nights of Hotwire hotel.
See how Hotwire's specially negotiated hotel deals can add up to some pretty big savings. Log on to Hotwire and take the Hotwire Travel Challenge today.
This is your office manager. It's come to management's attention that the newest Tic Tac Mint, Tic Tac Lime, has the office feeling a bit too refreshed. Jacobson had a lime Tic Tac and turned the line for the copier into a conga line. Ms. Davies was seen with lime Tic Tacs wearing a grass skirt made from shredded thyme sheets. Folks, while management recognizes lime Tic Tacs are incredibly refreshing with a tangy twist of lime, please enjoy them with some decorum or eat them on your own time. Thank you.
For a refreshing twist, try Tic Tac Lime.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Introducing the 60 greatest old-time radio shows of the 20th century, selected by Walter Cronkite. 30 hours of classic radio, including Orson Welles' legendary War of the Worlds, The Lone Ranger, and The Shadow, plus comedy greats Jack Benny, Abbott and Costello.
I'm not asking you who's on first. I don't know.
And more. This digitally remastered cassette compilation comes complete with a 64-page commemorative booklet. Call now to order. You'll get 60 episodes for just $29.95 plus shipping and handling. That's 50% off the regular price. CD also available. As a bonus, you'll also get 2 episodes of The Bob Hope Show free. Old Time Radio is great family entertainment for listeners of all ages and makes a perfect gift. Order now.
Look, bud. I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
For the 60 greatest old-time radio shows, call now, 800-556-9100. That's 800-556-9100.
Mm-hmm.
with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi there. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. And remember, if you can't get enough of us here, you can get more than you will ever want of us at Green Shields. After this, 1350 Hudson Avenue, 230 to 430. Our next caller is Steve from Lyons, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Should I be saying good day to you, mates?
Good day, mate.
Hey.
Yeah.
Crikeys, what's your question?
Have a good day, eh?
Yeah.
Have a Vegemite sandwich?
Have you ever had Vegemite?
I saw a bottle once.
You know, they grow some strong people down there in Australia. Oh, man. Go ahead, Steve. What's your question?
Yeah, I wanted to thank you first for the advice you gave last weekend for the drivers for the Canon printer. However, now I had the problem when I first start up the computer, I still get the signal on the XP that it recognizes new hardware and keeps asking if I want to install it. I was wondering how I could turn that off.
You should be able to say, yes, I want to install it, and then cancel the install and never ask me again is one of the buttons somewhere.
Yeah. One of the options.
Say yes. Then the next screen
is like search for driver, insert the CD, or cancel installing it.
Right, and then click cancel, and then you should be able to check somewhere, never ask me again.
Okay.
It just stays as a bang in your device manager.
Right, you'll still get an odd-looking symbol in your device manager, but you don't care.
Yeah.
Because you know it's installed and working.
Yeah, I found that. Yeah.
Okay, good.
That location, was also good. I found drivers for old digitizer that I had even from pre-95 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent.
The internet is
so
wonderful.
So I recommend that site for anybody who has hardware driver problems.
Great.
There you
thanks,
go.
Steve. Thanks for thanking us.
I have one other question, though.
Sure.
I was wondering how to can get my Internet 6 to view web pages as view files and folders of web pages. Explorer.
To view web pages as what? Folders?
Well, no, view files and folders as web pages in Explorer.
What version of Windows are you running?
XP. And it installed with Internet Explorer 6.
Well, Internet Explorer is completely different from Windows Explorer. Internet Explorer will only do web pages.
Yeah.
Windows Explorer does your files.
Yeah.
And
I
there's
know.
An option in the view menu.
Back in, when I had NT and installed
what you want to do.
Explorer for it, it allowed Explorer to be able to view files and folders as web pages.
That's an option in the view menu.
Right. What you want to do is open up an actual drive, not anything else. So double-click on My Computer, and then double-click on your C drive.
Yeah.
Then you can do this one of several ways. The easiest way, I think, to do it is to click on the Tools menu, then select Folder Options.
Folder Options.
Right. There's all kinds of things you can do in here. You should really
read them over. And
read
study.
Them over, but there's a couple of choices you can make.
And write down whatever changes you make,
right.
So in case you want to reverse it.
Yeah.
Right. Under the View tab, there's all kinds of choices that you should take a quick look at to play with to see what changes you want to make. To look at it whatever way you want to look at it.
And there's also an option in the view menu where you view as a list or view as icons to view as a web page, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there is a button right under the view menu. Yeah, you can look at it as thumbnails or tiles or icons or a list or details.
And if you do it as thumbnails, then you get nice big icon picture, little mini previews of all your photos.
The Explorer, regular Windows Explorer didn't include that option, choose the web view files as web pages.
Right. It's called different things now.
Yeah.
Because this is XP, but if you take a look at the view menu, you'll see all kinds of choices to show hidden files and folders, and to look at things as
web page.
Thumbnails and stuff like that. It doesn't specifically use the word web pages, but you can use a variety of things to get the same effect.
Okay.
Okie doke?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. I realize that, you know, when they changed Windows, they changed the way things look.
And they move things around to where
they move things around. It's very tough now. It's very tough. Our next caller, George from Fairport. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hi, guys. About a month ago, I needed some work on my PC's hard drive. I backed up the key hard drive files onto a CDRW. Brought it into a local shop, and they replaced the hard drive. They said it crashed. When I got the PC back home, I transferred all these files from the CDRW to my new hard drive, and all the files came over fine except one very important Excel file. I brought it to the shop, and they couldn't open it up either. The technician thought that this one file was corrupted during the transfer, and I was just wondering if you guys have any ideas how I can recover this file.
Did you happen to try to open the files off the CD before you took your computer in?
Yes.
And they opened then?
No.
So the problem was there before you had your computer fixed?
Yeah.
Yes.
There are some ways to recover Excel files. If you're lucky, it's just one bad cell.
Okay.
You can make a new spreadsheet, and inside each cell reference the other spreadsheet. So cell A1 will be a reference to the second spreadsheet, cell A1. And then same for B1, C1, et cetera. And you may get
That's
back...
That's terribly tedious.
Yeah.
Well, no, you do one and then do a fill down, fill right. And you may get back the cells that are valid, and only the bits of the spreadsheet that are corrupted won't come
Norton
in.
Norton used to have a utility for fixing spreadsheets and Word documents.
There are utilities out on the web. In addition, you might have some luck downloading a program called OpenOffice at openoffice.org.
Openoffice.org.
Yes. It is a full Office suite that is open source. It is free. It's a word processor. It's not a database. A word processor, a spreadsheet, and a presentation package. And I have had a lot of luck in both the word processor and the presentation program. I've never tried it in the spreadsheet. Opening corrupted documents that couldn't be opened any other way, and this thing just opens them up and ignores the bad bits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have not tried that in the spreadsheet package, but I don't see why it wouldn't work.
Can you take it back to an Excel spreadsheet then after you've opened it?
I use Office all the time, and I save documents in Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, open them without having any idea that they aren't originally Word, Excel, and PowerPoint documents.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the choices, in fact, is to automatically save in that format. But if you don't want to automatically save that way, you can save as an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay, and the other option is maybe go to Symantec's website and use their utilities.
Right. Mm-hmm. And like I said, if you go to Google and you do a search, you'll find bunches and bunches
repair tools
and things like that for all the Office
and
products.
And there's a couple of things on Microsoft's website, too, for trying to troubleshoot corrupt files.
Right.
Okay. In order to recover these, you don't have to be able to open them, right? I mean,
No, that's the whole point. Yeah. They can't be opened, and so you're trying to recover the data.
And these tools will work around that one cell or whatever, or group of cells, that's causing that error for...
Right, and it does depend on what's corrupted.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's a program called ExcelFix at excelfix.com.
There you go. So those will all be up on our website shortly, and you'll be able to...
Give it a shot.
All right, guys, you gave me a lot of work here. Thanks.
Let us know how it works.
I can recover it.
Let us know.
All right, bye.
Thanks. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Meenik Francesco on the universe's greatest computer show, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Come celebrate with Green Shield. After 3 months of renovations, Green Shield Computer Services is showing off their new offices with a grand reopening open house Saturday, January 11th from noon till 6 p.m. There'll be refreshments, food, door prizes, and gifts galore, along with special guests Nick Francesco and the crew from Soundbites. From 2:30 till 4:30, immediately following Soundbites on January 11th, you can mingle with Nick, Steve, and Dave and ask them your computer questions live in person. It's sure to be fun and informative, but space is limited. So you'll need to make a reservation by calling 1-800-544-9580 or email shield@frontiernet.net. Don't miss the Green Shield Open House with Nick Francesco and the crew from Soundbites, Saturday, January 11th from noon till 6. Green Shield Computer Services, a Corel approved partner. 1370 Hudson Avenue, just off the 104 Expressway. Call 1-800-544-9580 for reservations. We'll see you there.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
Right now, a couple is doing the tango at their cousin's wedding. Right now, a guy is doing a tune-up on a 56 pickup. Right now, people everywhere feel like their old selves again, because now there's new Blue Emu, America's fastest-growing topical pain reliever for joint pain and muscle aches. It's made with 7% pure emu oil, a pain remedy used in Australia for thousands of years. So it penetrates deep and fast. Get back to being you with new Blue Emu, the breakthrough in pain relief.
Guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi there, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Steve Ray's gone off, wandered away somewhere, we don't know, but hopefully he'll come back because the bracelet's on. It'll beep when he gets to the door. Our next caller is Fred from Webster. Welcome, Fred. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm running Windows 98, and I'm having a Norton problem, I believe. Upon boot up, I get a Norton integrator error. Norton integrator could not run current frame class. Please make sure you did not directly run the integrator, and it does not load the antivirus.
When's the last time you updated?
Oh, boy, it's probably been a while.
Well, Fred, it sounds like what you might have is the CLES virus.
Yeah.
Because what CLES does is it goes in there, especially if you haven't updated in, say, a few months, it goes in, and one of its main purposes is to disable Norton, McAfee, AVG, any of the antivirus software programs. And then, if you try to, you know, because it destroys that, if you try to uninstall or reinstall, it won't let you.
Exactly.
So what you've got to do is if you go to our website, soundbites.org,
mm-hmm.
and scroll down on the right-hand side, you'll see I heard this website on your show. Click on that. There's a alphabetical listing on the right-hand side, and you scroll down to where you see a program called Stinger. And it'll click and take you to that page. You can then download the Stinger program and run that. Stinger will now get rid of the CLES and, well, I think it's like 18 or 19 because they just added Yaha and this other virus to it. So it'll get rid of 18 of the or so most popular viruses
right
now.
Yaha, Lirva, the one we just talked about today, Rwabs.
So you want to go up there and get it and run that. And then from there, then you'll be able to uninstall and reinstall your Norton and then update weekly.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to try
almost
that.
Almost daily, though.
Yeah. Let's get to the point. Yeah, I mean, they had, matter of fact, Yaha went from a low-risk virus to a medium-risk virus in one day. I mean, these guys, you know,
it's good to be an overachiever, isn't it?
They don't have lives, and, you know, it was a new year, so they figured they'd start out the new year with some new havoc.
Once bitten, twice shy, I guess.
You got it.
You got it. Thanks, only takes one time to get side to head
update,
with the 2x4.
Update, update,
yeah.
Update. Thanks, Fred. We
Thank
appreciate
you.
Your call. Good luck.
Let us know how you make out.
Our next caller is Mike from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Yes, I was using a program called Common Lisp, which I used to use in 1980 on a workstation, and it ran fine.
What's it called?
It's called Common Lisp.
Oh, Common Lisp, yeah.
But when I try to run on computers nowadays, it seems to run slow and hog up resources. So my question is, what computer would I need to run it so it would not be eating up resources? Using it on computers with a gig of RAM, and it seems to still eat up all the resources it can find.
Well, you have to run it on the computer from 10 years ago like it was designed for. The way the computer architecture has changed, some really old programs don't work on modern computers.
I have modern versions of it, and they still seem to run slow on Windows.
Well, there's three or four dozen common Lisp utilities I just found on Google. So right. maybe finding a different
version.
Yeah,
programming eat a lot of resources?
They can.
Oh, sure. Languages in general will eat a lot of resources.
Especially if you got one that was written back in 1980.
No, I'm using modern versions now.
Okay. Right. But still,
when I program, it eats a lot of resources no matter what I use.
Well, then, yeah, that's just poorly written code is what it is. It's a bad code writer, and he just thinks that a program is going to be the only one running, and, you know, it's just bad code.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is a version of Common Lisp that is open sourced. It's at opensource.franz.com.
All right.
And that's...
opensource.fans.com?
Yeah, and it seems that that you might want to take a look at that else to tell you.
Well, there's also the Association of Lisp Users,
right,
at lisp.org.
Right, lisp.org.
And they have forums you can post
questions.
You know
how much memory would be required to run it good?
It depends on the program.
Yeah, how much memory do you have?
I'm using like 256 megs of RAM now.
Boy, that ought to, you think
and
that
what OS, what operating system?
Windows 98, second edition.
Well, that's part of the problem anyway, that Windows itself isn't written very well for higher-end programs. Yeah. You might have better luck with XP on a faster machine.
Okay. Thank you.
Give it a shot.
I'm really sorry. I wish I had an easier answer for you, but it's just...
That's life.
It's just the way that works, and I wish it were different. Our next caller, Skip from Henrietta. Welcome, Skip. What's your question?
Hello there. I got a couple filtering problems. Really, several problems altogether. One, I've got Windows Media Player says I got to get rid of scripting, or I got to add scripting. And two, my son doesn't like my firewall because he says it can't get stuff into his computer, which is network with me. But three, my major problem is just I keep getting stuff blocked that I don't want blocked.
And that's the common problem with a firewall. It blocks too much.
I've got a Linksys router with a firewall in it. And then then it goes to the network, but then...
Well, that shouldn't do anything to computers on your LAN. That should only prevent attacks from the Internet.
Yeah, okay,
Are you running a personal firewall on the computer?
Okay, on my computer, I've got PC Cillin updating all kinds of times all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've got the firewall enabled in that. I used to have Zone Alarm Pro, and I got rid of that.
By definition, a firewall will block all access.
Right.
You have to be knowledgeable enough to open the ports you want.
Well,
unless you don't trust the other people on your local network, you don't have to run a firewall program on your machine because you're all running a firewall in the router. That protects you from the Internet.
Okay.
What the one in your machine will do is protect you from the other people on your local network.
Okay, well, my son doesn't do much of any filtering at all, so he kind of scares me.
Well, but yes, and I understand that. But
as long as you keep your antivirus software up to date.
Yeah, my antivirus is up.
As long as you keep yours up to date, and even if he downloads a lot of junk to his and it tries to come over to yours, it's going to sit there and say, hey, wrong, and bounce it back, or, you know, say, hey, this file has a virus. If he's trying to move any files from, you know, his machine to your machine.
He doesn't do, the only thing he occasionally tries to use the printer, which is through my computer. But,
then, yeah, that should be no problem.
Yeah, the big problem with running a personal firewall is that it will try to block too much, so you have to open the ports you want through, and then you might as well not run a firewall anyway, because you're letting it open.
Yeah.
Well, I think the main problem I'm seeing here is, I think I got to add Subtract Pro in here, you know, for the pop-ups and stuff. But I keep getting to sites and where they've got the little menu items to, you know, go to the next page or something, they just disappear. Oh, you know why? Java or something, or what?
No, you know what that is? What a lot of these sites do is say, never run a graphic that doesn't come from the same server that the page comes from. The theory being that you then won't see a lot of pop-up ads and ads and things like that. However, there are a lot of companies that run multiple systems and share the common graphics of the company. So a logo or the next button or that sort of thing might come from another server. So what you want to do is look through your personal setup for that program and find the place where it says don't load graphics from a third-party site.
Yeah, cause I've even seen missionary sites that just the menu is going, and I know they're not doing all kinds of fancy stuff.
Right, but it may be that. It may also be you've blocked
JavaScript.
JavaScripts and their JavaScript menus.
Okay, JavaScript is a good one to leave in, or a...
Well, JavaScript, well, yes and no. No, it isn't. The reality is that you can get viruses from JavaScript, you can get them from Java, you can get them from everything. The question is, how annoying is it to not be able to go to those sites? You have to make a choice. You know, the only way you're safe is by disconnecting your machine from the net. Anything else is a degree of risk, and you have to determine how much risk you're willing to live with.
Okay. Can you suggest a website that lists all these options in these filters and which ones are good and what the pluses and minuses are?
No, not off the top of my head. I cannot.
Each company's own site will list what the best things about their program is.
Yeah,
but right.
That's probably biased.
Yeah.
But. I mean, like you said, you know, JavaScript is good. JavaScript is bad. You know, pluses and minuses.
Everything is good and bad.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem is if they say JavaScript is good, then you can sue them if you get a virus through a JavaScript.
Yeah.
So they won't
say
so
they're not
going
to say it. It's just nobody's going to say it.
Anything can be turned evil.
Right.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yes, and I'm sorry. I wish I had a better answer for you than that, but there kind of isn't one.
Really?
Yeah, I've written letters back to a couple of sites, you know, saying, "Where's your, you know, your site doesn't work. It looks beautiful, except."
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they say, "Well, turn on this." And
yeah.
Right.
Right. Turn on JavaScript, and then that site works, but another site that has a Java virus on it gets through.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep the antivirus software updated, though.
Yep. It updates by itself every almost once a day, almost, I think.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you. Our next caller, Jack from Waterloo. Welcome, Jack. What's your question?
Yes, good afternoon. I'm running Windows Millennium.
Ow!
Yeah, and I'm having trouble with scheduled tasks. As an example, I'll have the schedule. In fact, I did delete everything on the scheduled tasks.
The whole operating system?
Stop. Stop.
Oh, darn. I was hoping.
Stop. Let him talk. Sorry, Jack. Go ahead.
Okay.
Anything you hear from Dave, just ignore it.
Just ignore it.
Yeah. Just keep talking.
XP.
What'll happen now is everyone, it'll miss some of the schedules.
Uh-huh.
It updates the next runtime and says, you know, like if it's supposed to run in a week, it'll say it missed it today, but it's scheduled it for next week.
It's telling.
Is this your antivirus software?
No, this is in... You mean as far as what it's running?
Yeah. What are you scheduling?
I've got disk cleanup on there. I've got the defrag.
No, see, it's a new JavaScript that I put out there.
Stop it, going.
Everybody,
stop. Can you turn off
the mic? Slowly convert to
XP. Just turn it right off now because we don't need it anymore. Here's the deal, Jack. First, you really don't want to defrag and clean up your hard drive weekly. The amount of stress that's placed on a hard drive when you defrag it.
Uh huh.
Means you're going to cut the life. If you do it weekly, you're going to cut the life of that drive in half.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And generally, you don't really need it. That's why we suggest to people that they format their drive into multiple drives so that they have one C drive, one D drive.
Okay.
Then the C drive has programs on it. You change those rarely. And whenever you delete one, then you defrag. But the D drive, you've just got little files on it. It doesn't matter. It's not gonna. Right. It's not gonna be a problem that they're fragmented.
Gotcha.
And so, and basically, what Dave was alluding to under his breath is it's working the way it's supposed to. There are preferences. There are preferences in your task scheduler somewhere
that tell you
when an event is missed. Should I try again now or just wait till the next scheduled event? And your preference is apparently set to wait till the next scheduled event.
Right. And in addition, the problem is that you cannot defrag your hard drive while you're using it.
Right.
And in fact, in many cases, you can't defrag your hard drive unless you're in safe mode.
Or even DOS mode,
because there are too many things running in the background. Anything that's still running will prevent the defragger from running.
Jack, what type of system do you have? Is it a Pentium 3? What?
I'm not sure. It's my wife's unit here that I'm...
Okay. If you've got a Pentium 3, 500 megahertz or better, at least 256 mega memory, seriously, Windows XP is a good upgrade that you might want to consider down the road if you're going to keep this machine for a while, because, one, ME has already been phased out. Right. It was a long time ago. And Windows 98 is going to be phased out, or... It's moved. I think it's already moved to the list, isn't
it? I'm not sure.
But to
solve your immediate problem, take those off of scheduled tasks because you almost always cannot run them while you're doing anything else.
Okay.
So you'll want to do those by hand from DOS or at the best safe mode. But you don't want to do them weekly because
you will
really damage your hard drive in the long run.
Okay.
It's like running your car up and down the driveway every day for half an hour.
Gotcha.
It's really not what it's designed to do, and it's not good for it. Okie doke. Okay, are you there?
Yep.
Okay. We got to go. We're out of here in about a minute. We're going from here right to Green Shields, 1350 Hudson Avenue. We'll be there till 4:30. Come on down and say hi. Have a little snack. See what's going on down there. It's a very cool place. Back here next Saturday at 12:25 p.m. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and, of course, the magnificent Rob Linton for keeping us on schedule. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back here next Saturday on 1180 WHAM for Soundbites.
We know about it before it's big news. We tell you about it before it happens. You're given a heads up and able to form an opinion before you have to. You are always the first on your block to know anything and everything. If we don't talk about it on this program, trust me, you don't need to know about it.
Rush 2 till 5. Rush on Wham!